gift, and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness.
Right.
Neither shadow of turning. God isn't moody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
God isn't moody. He ain't all whacked out.
Yes.
Praise Jesus. He's constant. He's level. What he was then, he is now. What he is now, he will always be.
Yes.
Right, amen.
Yes.
Once you understand the unchanging essence of God, you're no longer confused by terms that the Bible uses to describe God.
Yes.
That's what I want you to get.
Yes.
You're no longer confused by terms
yes.
of which the Bible uses to describe God. There's a poster, and I want to get it, and I haven't been able to find one that I really like. I found a couple of them, but they're okay. It says on the top of it, God is, and then it names all the things. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Lion of Judah, Lamb of God, Strong and Mighty Tower, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, and it just goes down the line. And it's a great big poster, and it has all these things. And I think it's just so fascinating. It's so fascinating. And I've read it many, many times, and I probably need to look it up and go buy it. And I want to put it on my wall in my office. Because everything.
Everything's mine.
Everything you need him to be, he can be for you.
That's right.
Amen.
But it doesn't change who he is.
Yes.
Right.
How are you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength if there's three different entities? Guess what? Somebody's not getting loved.
Yeah.
Right.
So who are you not loving?
Yes.
And when you ask somebody that, who are you not loving? Because if you don't love the Lord our God with all that heart, mind, soul, and strength, you're going to love him with all. So you're either going to love in their terminology, in the terminology of polytheism, multiple gods, three gods, the Trinity, you're either going to love God the Father with all, or you're going to love God the Son with all, or you're going to love God the Holy Ghost with all.
Yes.
There's two that are going to be out.
That's right.
Oh, no, we don't want, no, yeah, exactly. You don't want to do that.
No.
You don't want to leave nobody out. But you can't love one with all if you split him up.
Right.
But I can love him with all because he's all one.
Amen.
I can love him with everything. I can love the Father. I can love the Son. I can love the Spirit. I can love the Counselor. I can love the Strong and Mighty Tower. I can love my Provider. I can love the Lion of Judah. I can love the Lily of the Valley. I can love the Mighty Morning Star. Jewish nation had every conceivable prophecy at their disposal. Yet they directly rejected the Messiah. But just because they directly rejected him didn't mean that he wasn't Christ.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm going to start. Slow descent. 30,000 feet up in the air right now.
Yeah.
So it takes a little while to get down. All right. Okay, good. Thank you, Jesus. So that really wasn't my first close.
Right.
It was just fasten your seatbelts. We're still 100 miles out from the airport.
All right.
Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23 said, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and his name, or and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Woo! Hallelujah. Which being interpreted is God with us. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery. This is a great mystery.
Yeah.
This is a great mystery. Anybody like great mysteries?
Amen.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Now you're thinking of your favorite author. But this is my favorite author.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Oh yeah, I got some other fictional authors that they're good, but there ain't no suspense.
Right.
There ain't no mystery like this mystery.
Amen.
Because when you get to understanding who God is, woo, what a great mystery when it's revealed. And you see, we've got it revealed to us today. We know who Jesus is. So we read the back of the book. We read the end of the story.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, there's some mysteries that I really like. And I listen to them again. You know why? Because it's so cool.
Yeah.
You know what? There's some mysteries that I really like. And I read them again. You know why? Because they're so cool.
Yeah, right.
I never get bored of this mystery.
Amen.
This mystery of God. This mystery of God was manifest in the flesh. And it's inevitable sometimes to go through your Bible and things leap out one after another as you go again and you read the mystery that you didn't hear the first time that you read it. You didn't understand the first time, but the next time you read it, there's another one. God manifest in the flesh. This is who he was. This is the relationship of who God was at that particular time. Then it said, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. For God to be in Christ meant that the Holy Ghost also had to be in Christ. And the only way Christ could have died was for the Spirit to leave that fleshly body. Jesus was not one person in another person.
Right.
Rather, he was simply God robed in flesh.
Amen.
Divinity wrapped in humanity. Oh, what a wonderful mystery. Ooh. Ooh. Wow. Why is it that we can believe God for all kinds of things? Yeah. You know, we accept the fact that, let me put it to you like this. Everybody know what gravity is?
Yes.
I have confidence in gravity. Because if... Who's smiling for? Hey. It's always going to work. Gravity. Always going to work. I know that box is going to hit the ground. Because gravity is there.
Right.
Aren't you glad to know that when you walk over to your bed and you look at your bed and you go, okay, I'm going to lay down. I hope I don't hit the ceiling.
No, you just jump into bed because you know gravity works.
Right.
Well, greater than any gravity, God forgives sins.
Right.
Right.
Some of y'all didn't get that.
Right.
Greater than any gravity, God forgives sins. Just as well as you know, I can go, look at that. I didn't hit the ceiling.
You know that when you ask for forgiveness, God forgives you.
Amen.
And there are some times in the Bible that things just didn't work according to the laws of gravity. For there was a preacher one time that was caught up
in the world.
Right.
Ooh, and translated and ended up in a chariot.
That's right.
With a eunuch. Understand what thou readest?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, right.
Gravity didn't work then.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you that when it comes to the forgiveness of your sins, it'll work every time. When gravity may fail us at some times, the forgiveness of sins will never. Let me give you one more. I'm going to preach on this here. One of these days. Prophet, dude, chopping with an axe. Axe head flies off, goes into the middle of the river. Gravity has its way because it's way, way heavier. And it sinks to the bottom. But then, of all the things in the world, the preacher says, hey, get a piece of wood. And where that wood was supposed to float, it sank. And that piece of wood swam on down to that axe head. And iron did swim.
Right.
Against all the laws of nature and everything else. Because when God steps in, when the Spirit of God starts to move on a situation, it doesn't matter what nature says. It doesn't matter what the laws of nature say. God created the laws of nature and can supersede the laws of nature and say, no, not on my watch, not on my time. I don't care what your nature is. I don't care what the situation is. The power of the Spirit has an ability to change your nature.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Let me hurry.
Thank you, Lord.
Romans 16 and 25 said, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now to him that is of power to establish you. He's got the power. He can establish you. He can help you.
Yes.
According to the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ. According, the scripture said, to the revelation of the mystery, there's our mystery again, which is kept in secret since the world began, but now is made. You see how you got to break this scripture up? You got to break it up so you can understand. Don't just read through it, because you're going to miss all this powerful meat stuff. But now is made. It was once in secret. This mystery was once in secret of the power of God that is able to establish you through Jesus Christ, through the preaching of the gospel. It was once in secret, but now is made manifest. It's out in the open. Everybody gets to see it. Everybody gets to understand. Everybody gets to experience it.
Right.
By the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. This mystery that was of old that they would talk about is now revealed. You can see it in the person, in the flesh, humanity, Jesus Christ. And there is your glory. Man Christ Jesus was fathered by the Holy Ghost. For Matthew chapter 1 verse number 18 said, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, before they had a sexual relationship, before she could actually get pregnant, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. What a mystery.
Wow.
found with child of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Two times in three scriptures, it mentions being conceived, this child,
yes,
conceived of the Holy Ghost. Now let me share with you something, a fact. And maybe you didn't know, maybe you do know. The book of Matthew was written after Pentecost. It was written somewhere around 60 AD to 67 AD. And of course we know that Pentecost happened 30 AD. So there was some time here, and what we are getting is this pure, the purest form of understanding and revelation of the mystery of who God is.
Amen.
Matthew is pinning this out so we might understand this was seed of the Holy Ghost. This was, let me go a little bit further. John chapter 7, verse number 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. Should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. How then could Jesus say Holy Ghost was not yet given when Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's simple. This was simply a term referencing the day of Pentecost experience. Because his spirit doesn't change.
Right.
It doesn't change. It wasn't referring to the essence of God, but God's spirit has always been, again, and always will be. So it overshadowed Mary, and this is where people start to split that up. But do you see how you can't split that up? There's no splitting it. How did Jesus then say that? He said it because he's referring to that Pentecostal experience that was on its way when he said that in the book of John. Let me give it to you like this. A woman changes her name at a wedding, right? Does it change who she is because she now becomes an aunt? Because she now becomes a wife? Because now she becomes a mother? Because now she becomes a sister-in-law? She may not have been all of those things, but she got a name change, and all of a sudden, she had multiple ways to be identified.
Right.
But did she change?
No.
No. She's still that same person.
Yes.
She's... She's still that same person. She never changes who she is. Only the designation or the terminology designates the relationship to whom or with by whom or with she is speaking to or speaking of. It only changes that way, but it doesn't change who she is. Therefore, God is the same way. There may be different designations in relationship of what's going on in that particular moment. And this is why we have to understand. We've got to get this down in our spirit. Because when somebody does say, oh, well I prayed that Jesus Christ the Son, and they start talking all this crazy, whoa, y'all confused. Let me help you with that. Let me make this real simple for you. And I don't care what, who was that guy that said that? It was some big name televangelist that said, well, you can't understand the Trinity, you just have to believe it.
Well, really?
That's what they said. Yeah.
You're right, you can't understand the Trinity.
That's right.
And you can't believe it because it ain't real.
That's right.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Because there's only one God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And it just takes on different things for whatever you need him to be at that time.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
We should be no more confused about titles of God than we do with the woman that's getting married. They're titles.
Right.
Right.
And I know I've said it before, I'll say it again. I have a name. my name is Derek Newman. Mm-hmm. But I am a husband.
Right.
I am a father.
Right.
I am a son. I'm a son-in-law. I think I'm a preacher. I'm trying to be a pastor. Every once in a while, I think I could probably be called a carpenter. I am not a tape and mud and texture guy. You hear that? There's a lot of things that I can be and have a title. That's what my brothers' girls call me. They don't call me Uncle Derek. They just say Uncle. And I got a whole lot of titles, but that's what never changes who I am. And this is the great mystery and the revelation of what we've got to get to the world, to get them to understand and reconcile them with the one true creator, Almighty God.
Amen.
Yes.
If we can't get this to them, they'll never get what they need.
Right.
They'll be confused and unchanged. 1 Timothy chapter 2, number 5 said, there is one God. Ephesians 4:4, there is one Spirit. Ephesians 4:5 said, there is one Lord. Acts 4:24, the Lord is God. John 4:24, God is a Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is that Spirit. Acts 9:5, that Lord is Jesus.
Yeah.
There you go.
And I just gave you a little bit. Acts 5:9-5, the whole verse said, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Trying to believe in a Trinity is as futile as taking your shoe off and kicking a cactus. Enjoy yourself. Now come on, did that give you a visual or what? Take your shoe off the next time you want to believe in three separate entities and kick a cactus and see how it feels. And tell me you got understanding of a great mystery. You're going to be greatly lacking and greatly in pain.
Amen.
Suffering for the stupidity. Oh, that was one of those trigger words that make people feel inferior.
Oh, right, yeah.
The Lord, the Spirit, God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all the same. God has three functions. Or, can I say, in the eyes of Trinitarianism or polytheism, there's functions, not personalities. For Colossians chapter number 2, the pressure in the cabin is changing. You can tell it's a slow descent. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 9 said, for in him, it didn't say in them.
That's right. That's right.
Maybe this is for somebody who's going to listen on the website. It didn't say for in them. It said for in him. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, collectively, as one. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, which God didn't change his mode of operation. He's still speaking by the preacher.
Right.
Have in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now wait a second. God is saying that the Son made all the worlds. That's what he's saying. That's correct. That the Son, Jesus Christ, is the Creator. Who, being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. God did it.
Right.
God did it. He purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Many get stuck right there. They didn't get any of what I said before and figuring out who is talking about and how those are synonymous terms. Then when they get to the right hand, they all of a sudden go, oh, see right there, it says that he's over there on the right hand.
Well, if you didn't read all the scripture before, you might be able to think that.
But let me get you to understand something here today. When you understand the terminology, it makes perfect sense. For throughout the entire Bible, the right hand has always signified power. Ooh. All you lefties, I'm sorry. Well, yeah. You know what David ended up for his army? Was a bunch of lefties.
Right.
And you know why? Because left-handed people were misfits.
Right. Yeah.
Now, outcasts. They don't know. That southpaws, you know, they always say, well, I do all this with my left hand because I think on the right side of my brain. But I got more power. I use my right hand. Even though I think with my left side. All that's in jest. It doesn't. But in the scripture, throughout the Bible, it tells us that the right hand is signifying of power. Yeah. So when you understand that and you go back to there and you sat down on the right hand of the majesty, you can see that Jesus Christ, God robing himself in flesh, becoming a man, dying on the cross for our sins, becomes the power in which we have today. That's why we say there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. Huh? That's why we say there's power in the name of Jesus. That's why we are baptized in the name of Jesus, because there is no remission of sins without the power of the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's why Colossians 3:17 said, and whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. So this right hand is only signifying the power.
That's amen.
Right.
Brother Miles, y'all can't see Brother Miles, but I did. And he's going. There's power. And so when he's sitting on the right hand of majesty, it's only signifying the power that is in the name of Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
There is no power like his power. So the role of the Son, and I'm closing. The role of the Son is now glorified as the Father of the old.
Got it?
The role of the Son is now manifesting itself, glorified as the Father of old. For Isaiah 9:6 said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Not a Mighty God.
Right.
Not one of.
Yeah.
But the Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. Who's it talking about? It's about the child that's being born. About the propheticness of Jesus Christ to be born. He's going to be called the Mighty God. He's going to be called the Everlasting Father. He's going to be called the Prince of Peace. So who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is Jesus.
Amen.
Now what? We no longer look for him in the temple. We look for him in people. I'm going to destroy this temple. In 3 days, I'll build it up again. But it's not going to be in a way that you think. It's going to be different. Now I'm coming back. I told you I was going to get there. And I'm coming back. For 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. We're going to destroy this temple, but in 3 days, going to raise it up again. And I'm going to take some keys, and I'm going to hand them to Peter, and he's going to be responsible for unlocking the door to salvation to all humanity. And my temple is no longer going to be a building, but my temple is going to be with the body. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, the temple is going to be you, because the Holy Ghost is going to dwell in you. That's my temple.
Amen.
Yes.
And so now I bring the very first pages of the desire of Almighty God to have this intimate relationship and communication to all humanity. I bring you from Genesis all the way into the book of Acts and through all of the New Testament. I bring you to that place that the power of the Holy Ghost is intended for you to receive, so you can have a relationship with Almighty God like none other. Not distant. And now you know who you worship.
Amen. Praise
Him.
Praise
Him. Amen.
Yes, praise the Lord.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and appeared unto them as cloven tongues like of a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began. How did they know they got the Holy Ghost? Because they began to speak in other tongues. And here's the kicker. Here's what ties it together again. As the Spirit. Not as they were taught. Not as they were told to say, see me tongue tie, see me tongue tie, see me tongue tie, see me tongue. Yeah, that's it. See me tongue tie, see me tongue tie, see me tongue tie. You think that's funny? I heard it one day. I walked into a Bible bookstore, and in the back room, that's exactly what they were doing. They were telling somebody, say this phrase as fast as you can, as many times as you can, and you're going to receive the Holy Ghost, and it will be in other tongues.
Oh my God.
I heard it. And so the person said, okay, and I don't remember the phrase. I preached on it a long time ago, but I don't remember what the phrase was, but they started saying that phrase over and over and over again, and over and over and over again, until they got all tongue-tied. And as soon as they got all tongue-tied, the person said, see there? You got it. That's it. And the person stopped and said,
Oh, wow. Okay. Cool. No change. No different. You can say Peter Piper picked the pickled peppers. How many Peter Piper pickled peppers do these people on a paper pick? As you want to say, but that don't mean you got the Holy Ghost.
Right.
That don't mean you got the Spirit of God.
Right.
Lord willing, I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk to us again because I'm going to preach on doctrine. The difference between receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost initially and the gift of tongues separately, as referred to in Corinthians.
Yes.
They were all filled that day. They were all filled with Jehovah God of the Old Testament.
Amen.
On that day. They were all filled with Jesus Christ of the New Testament.
Amen.
That day.
Right.
They were all filled with the Creator of heaven and earth that day.
Yeah. Right.
They were all filled with the I am that I am. They were all filled with, are you getting what I'm saying? They were all filled with the beginning and the end. They were all filled with the Alpha and the Omega. They were all filled with the Spirit. Therefore, Peter once again had the keys to salvation in his hand when they said unto him, men and brethren, what shall we do? What am I going to do about my situation? I heard what you preached and we crucified the Messiah. What do I got to do? And he said, repent and be baptized. How many? Only the upper class, or only the middle class, or only the lower class, or only this race, or only. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, every one of you, no matter how much money you make or how much money you don't make, whatever nationality you are, whatever background you come from, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Would you say it? Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for the promise. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm thankful today. I'm thankful that today that it said for the promise is unto you. Even though it was written way back then, sister, it was for you. Even though it was written way back in 60 AD, it's for you. Even though it was more than 2,000 years ago, it was written for you and for you. For the promise is unto you and to me. All the things of the Lord our God shall call. So now I got the key and I've already got it. Now what am I going to do with the key? I got to go find somebody and unlock their door. Been given the ministry of reconciliation. Let me tell you today, if you didn't pray through, we've coined that term, but if you haven't spoken under the influence and the power of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost, if you haven't spoken in other tongues today, you may not yesterday. You need it today.
Yeah.
Come on, I need it today.
We need it today. We need it again. Because I can't live without His Spirit. I can't live without, you know what? That's why some of us are struggling right now. Because we think that just because we got full of the Holy Ghost a week ago, a month ago, a couple weeks ago, about a this and that ago, that we think we're okay. We're not okay. We've got to be full of the Spirit. Because the Spirit is what's going to give us power to overcome our flesh. The Spirit is what's going to give us the authority. I can't testify. I'll tell you why you can't testify. Because you're not full of His Spirit. Anybody want some of the Spirit? Anybody want to be baptized all over again? Does anybody want?